I'm so glad.
I knew it would be necessary.
Yes.
To tell
you that. Yes. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad it has made my day.
Is it on?
Yes.
Yes, Obi, it's on.
Welcome this afternoon and welcome back to anyone who is with us this morning. Special welcome to the staff who followed us around and done their Saturday. I don't get to do anything else this day. Duty for us. This is the first round of our scheduled meetings, and the superintendent will talk about what we do with each one of them. We're hoping that it will be an information sharing session, information this time from what information the district has been able to gather, and next time around when we're back in January, then we will hear back from you or from other people in the community anything that you think we're missing from the picture about Bristol Elementary School. I would ask the deck to introduce themselves. Let's start over here with Wallace.
Wallace Carr, Sub-District 12, takes in the communities of Franklin Junction, Burton, Gagetown, Lincoln, and Gary.
And Corey, Sub-District 5, and I cover the schools in Harvey and Cat.
Heather Hogan, I am with the schools in Woodstock and Burton.
Jane Buckley, and I've served the north side of Fredericton.
Faith Kennedy, and I do the Grand Lake area, Chipman Minnow and Cambridge Narrows.
Miriam Grant, Canterbury to Keswick Valley Memorial.
I am Andy Saunders from Pierce Sub-District 2 for the Carroll North Roswell area.
And I'm Kimberly Douglas, and I'm from the Stanley, Doaketown, Boystown, Nashwauk Valley area. And I'll hand things over to the superintendent to carry on.
Thank you, Kimberly. My name is David McTiverny. I'm the superintendent for Anglophone West School District. And pleasure to be here today in Bristol, at Bristol Elementary School. I'll start by introducing some staff. The director of schools for the Woodstock Education Center is Jay Kolpitz. And the director of finance and administration for all of Anglophone West is Sean Tracy. The Director of Communications for Anglophone West is Judy Cole. We have Sue Young, who is the Supervisor of Data and Accountability and instrumental in preparing the presentation today. A management team that includes Transportation Manager Daniel Wishart and Facilities Manager Amy Smith and Facilities Assistant Manager Kyle Harrison. And I sort of scan the crowd here. Carol Park Cattery is the executive assistant to the superintendent and secretary for DEC. An IT crew, Stacy DeRoche is here. Is Mike coming this afternoon? No, he was there this morning. So thanks for that IT support as well. I'll acknowledge the MLA for the area, Andrew Harvey, welcome. And the mayor for Florenceville, Bristol, Harold Curtis, welcome. I see the CAO is here as well, Sarah, welcome. And yes, thank you to Principal Heidi Stevenson and teaching staff who's come to watch. We appreciate you being here, thanks very much. I even see a former principal here in James Wright, principal of Bristol Elementary from 2000 to 2012. So. A good crowd and welcome to parents and community. I could probably keep going and introduce everyone individually, but maybe you know one another. My responsibility now is to present information to the District Education Council in a public format so everybody benefits from this afternoon. And it's part one of a three meeting schedule for a sustainability study. This is what it'll look like today. I'll tell you a little bit about the provincial policy. I'll share the information that we've gathered on Bristol Elementary School. take some questions if you have any, and then talk about what's next in the sustainability study. Provincial Policy 409, it's a Department of Education and Early Childhood Development policy. It outlines a number of responsibilities to do with our facilities and within the system. And the specific section within that policy, 6.4 to 6.7, those are the sections that are relevant to sustainability studies. As I mentioned, there are three public meetings that need to occur within a sustainability study. This first meeting, this is meeting number one, where staff presents to the council and to the public information about the school. A second meeting, which will take place on Saturday, January 25th at 1 o'clock, right here in the same location, is an opportunity for stakeholders from the community, those who have a real interest in the school and the community and how the school fits in it, within the community and have a strong interest on the sustainability of the school, thoughts for the future, they have the opportunity to present at that particular meeting. That's where I get to sit down and listen as opposed to be up at the front and speaking. And then finally, on Thursday, March 19th, at Carleton North High School, we'll have the conclusion of the study, and that will be public meeting number three. As you may know, there are four school settings that are being studied as a part of this process together: Florenceville Elementary, Florenceville Middle, Bristol Elementary, and Bath Community Schools. And we'll have individual meetings when it comes to meeting number one and meeting number two. But the third and final meeting will be an accumulation or a culmination of the entire study, and everything will come to a conclusion on that particular night. There are three possible outcomes when it comes to a sustainability study. One could be maintain the status quo, and that's to leave things exactly as they are right now and carry on. If that's the case, then the deck declares that, and there's no further business or affairs within the sustainability study related to Bristol Elementary. A second might be for the DEC to ask for government to invest a significant amount of money to improve the building, to invest in the infrastructure and education here at Bristol Elementary. If that's the case, it goes to government, and government would need to approve finances to do that. And the third possibility would be to close Bristol Elementary School and include a school with location and catchment areas to be determined during the major capital process. So the concept of closing this school in conjunction with closing other schools with the hopes of building a new K-8 regional school where students would attend. Once again, government has the final say on that. They're the ones that would need to invest the money. I think as a council, it's fair to say that the decision has been made. We're not necessarily considering the possibility of closing Bristol Elementary and moving students to Florenceville Elementary. It's the concept of a K-8. Am I correct in explaining that? It's the concept of K-8 is what we're looking at. It's something that that is possible. It's something that could happen as a result of the study. It hasn't been a part of those original conversations. When it comes to looking at the information that needs to be presented here today, there's an outline of topics that we should discuss. Those topics are within the study, within the policy, and you can see here the different categories that I'll work through with this presentation. When we look at enrollment, The enrollment trend here at Bristol, this is going back to 2001. 2002, we see a peak of 150 students here at Bristol. You can see the trend, how it's gone down a little bit, then trending down now. In 2018, we had 86 students here. We're sitting at an official enrollment of 90 students. The enrollment by grade level, and then with a projection for the next 5 years. And you can see that with this projection, we see a student population, we're projecting it to dip just a little bit into the 80s, but stay stable in the 80s. And 5 years from nine, we're projecting about an 11 student difference at 79 students. These projections are created through a software package. The projections compare fairly close to the projections that were made when a large-scale feasibility study was conducted by the consultation group Ernst & Young. Just a reminder that, well, this presentation, you have a copy of it, but it'll also be on our website. We keep a sustainability study website, and that information is available to you. When it comes to staffing, the teacher staff that we assigned to a school. Last year, there were 5 homerooms. This year, there are 6 homerooms based on the So these are the numbers from that that shows the student-to-teacher ratio last year and this year, and what it would look like if we just follow the provincial formula, and then some, of course, if we're able to top up a little bit, that improves the student-to-teacher ratio. This year it's about 11.7 to 1. Valuable staff that sorry, this is for last year. a summary of information that talks about core curriculum and supports. So this is a school where we don't have French immersion, early immersion, nor late immersion. When it comes to a gymnasium, that's actually the room that we're in. We say, yes, there is a gym, but the official name of this room is called a multi-purpose room. So this isn't, if you were to look at official definitions of what a gymnasium in a school is supposed to look like, and this doesn't meet those specifications. We don't say it's not a gym, it's used as a gym and for phys ed class, but the official name of this room is a multi-purpose room. Within our district is on tap to support for an environmental showcase. And there are no science labs or computer labs within the school. This slide's a little bit wordy, but basically it's saying that the school begins, of course, with the grade level of kindergarten, and all students enter K. In an English Prime program. In grade one, at this time, students have the option to enroll in French immersion in many schools throughout our province. French immersion isn't offered here at Bristol Elementary, but if students decide that they would like to be in French immersion, parents decide at this particular age, then those students can go to Florenceville. Some great special events that encourage community school read word for word, but you can see some of the bullets that are there. I can also tell you that if you go to a few appendices that we have attached to this, you can see some additional information. Make sure you go to our website. There's a lot of great information for in different school programs. There's an art school, an after-school art club that's in partnership with the Andrew and Laura McCain Art Gallery. And retired principal James Wright speaks to students and assists them in making decisions to support families in need with other countries. It's called EVA. And I appreciate the support with that. Provincial assessment results. We know that provincial assessments are a part of our part of life when it comes to academics and in school and accountability in our province. You can see here that specific to Bristol Elementary, there's some history in the grade two writing. Grade two reading assessment that has stopped at this time. So the last writing for grade two was in 2017-18. And if you scan those numbers, you can see that Bristol Elementary has always been either slightly or greatly above the district average. It appears that Bristol does quite well when it comes to the grade two assessment historically over the years. So you can have a look at that history. When it comes to grade four, which is still an active assessment, you can see that the English reading assessment for grade fours is at 89.5% for Bristol Elementary, which is significantly greater than the district and the province. When it comes to math, it's 68.4, which is above district and province. And when it comes to science, it's at 73.7, which is above the district and the province. We as a system, and you're seeing more and more of it, believe that when it comes to assessing students, provincial assessments are just one little piece of the puzzle. It's a snapshot in time. It's a high stakes test that occurs at the end of the year. To really now educators are seeing that the best assessment is conducted throughout the year by classroom teachers using classroom tools. So report card data is much more important to us in determining where a student stands in terms of achievement. Some wonderful benefits here at Bristol Elementary. Staff have a really strong knowledge of students and their strengths and their needs, whether that's within their own class or among the other classes. Some great relationships with local businesses, community members, and parents and guardians. Good core leadership team that works together on all the initiatives for staff. Different clubs and activities for the student body. All the teaching staff are involved, and there's a schedule that's created so that activities aren't overlapping, and students can participate in as much as they want to, as much as they can. As mentioned, staff really is aware of the needs of students and their families. There's a backpack program that's in place, sponsored by the True North Baptist Church. Good program for recycling, and that's appreciated. You can see community physical activities, and splash pad, and the Shogamok, I'm not sure if I said that right, train, inviting students and staff for free tours. An ice cream treat, everybody loves that for sure. Some challenges, of course. As small staff, it can be challenging to schedule and meet the instructional guidelines for K-5. The supervision minutes per week are usually higher for staff in a small rural school such as this. Some limited space to accommodate meetings for meeting locations for outside agencies. We would have integrated service delivery teams coming in, child and youth teams, speech language pathologists, tutors, volunteer tutors, the ELF tutors. Sometimes it's hard to find that quiet corner for these outside agencies to work with the kids. Building is limited with storage for resources due to fire marshal regulations, and it's not a wheelchair accessible building, and defibrillator in the building as well. So those are a few challenges that we're facing at this time. Can talk a little bit more specifically about the building. It is two-story, 1,427 square meters. It's a wood frame structure. It was built in 1966. And there are 8 classrooms, a library and a gym, and no cafeteria. There's a look at one of the floors. It's the bottom floor where we are right now. There's the top floor. These are the original floor plans. Functional capacity is a number that we use to describe how full the building is. It takes into account the number of classrooms as well as the student enrollment. We would see that the functional capacity here at Bristol Elementary is 44.8%. And that would suggest that there's room for more students to attend here, although the school makes good use of of all the rooms. So it's the school is responsible in the space that it has to work with. When we talk a little more specifically about the building, there isn't a sprinkler system and there isn't a ventilation system. There is some asbestos insulation that's found on pipe elbows and fittings. That's being managed safely by trained staff. Every school has an asbestos management program that they have. I mentioned earlier, it's not wheelchair accessible due to the split level entrances. Gym undersized by 54 square meters. If you compare that to the EECD, the Department of Education planning guidelines for a small elementary school. The office area location isn't right at the main entrance, which isn't convenient. It's manageable at this time. Over the last 10 years, about $105,000 from capital investment projects have been put into the school. Going back 10 years, there was some brick repointing that was done, some radon mediation that was completed, and more recently, there's been a roof replacement. This, and I know you probably can't see it, but maybe you can see it on your handout, or make sure you go to our website. This is a list of everything we would do if money was not a question. And that those projects amount to about $1 million. Of course, it would mean a ventilation system, upgrading the washrooms, installing new floors, doing some painting, installing an elevator or a lift, putting in a proper sprinkler system with reservoir. Those are all with different priorities. Among those, the sprinkler system would be the number one priority. Things like painting or paving, those would be classified as number three priorities. Those estimates just come from work that Department of Transportation and Infrastructure might do, as well as facility staff within education. So if money was not an option, we would invest about $1 million into Bristol Elementary for these projects. Each year, our facility staff will present all of the projects to District Education Council. And within that have a priority list that the council examines, and the council needs to approve the priority list before it gets sent to government, and government then will determine which capital projects move forward. The annual operational costs of the facility, we have categories like electricity, water, sewage, garbage removal, snow plowing, heating fuel, cleaning supplies, and minor repairs and renovations. Over the last 3 years, we've seen a low of $37,000 and a high of $49,000 in terms of operational costs for the facility. The numbers are fairly consistent going across the chart. You can see that in some years we have to invest a little bit more into minor repairs and renovations. Likewise, the principal is provided a budget to manage. In this case, Mrs. Stevenson would have a global budget of $23,365, different categories. Most of that would be for regular instruction. But there's also some money set aside for administrative support, teacher working conditions, nutrition programs, the bilingual learning environment, a wellness grant and co-ed extracurricular trips, and the PSSC. There are other pockets of money that principals can access as well, but this is the global budget that's assigned to the school. A lot of times when budgets such as these are assigned, enrollment is one of the key factors in sharing the money. Of course, there are costs associated with salaries as well, And you can see that there's a little bit of consistency. Please note that these are fiscal year costs, and they're pulled right from our budget and accounting charts. The fiscal year runs from April 1st to March 31st, so there's some overlap of school years. So, sometimes you try and you look at that and say, well, that doesn't make sense. But if you were to dig in deep to the financial lines, you would see why it might be. Salaries among different positions vary. For teachers, for instance, depending on experience, your salary climbs from year one through to year 11, also on level of education. And there are other categories for salaries within those other positions as well. So the total operational costs, and this is sort of an approximate figure, is about $824,000 here at Bristol Elementary School. When we look at transportation outside of K-5, so looking at grades 6 to 12 that live in this Bristol catchment area, those students in grades 6 to 8 are bused to Florenceville Middle School, and in grades 9 to 12 they're bused to Carleton North High School. No French immersion program, as I had mentioned here, and if students at the elementary level want to enroll in French immersion, they go to Florenceville Elementary. Coming in on the morning to start school, we have 5 buses bringing students into the school, and then at the end of the day, those same 5 buses transport students to their home. If there were to be a new school in the years ahead, our transportation team doesn't anticipate any huge impact with respect to busing of students. At this time, the longest ride in the morning is 78 minutes long, and the longest ride home is 82 minutes. The earliest pickup is 6:50 in the morning, and the latest drop-off is 4:25 p.m. The average ride time on the bus is 32 minutes. If you want to have a look at that in terms of distance, the average distance that kids live away from the school, 11.4 kilometers, with the furthest one away, 37.8 kilometers, and the closest person only 300 meters away from the school. Policy 409 asks for us to consider the impact on the local community, economic development, and we do note that Bristol Elementary is one of 2 elementary schools in the town of Florenceville, Bristol, a strong parent and community support for this school. When it comes to the impact on economic development and local community, so what kind of impact would changes have for business and for other community organizations, we're not really the best to try and determine that, and that's where we count on the stakeholders and businesses to come forward and talk about that and share their thoughts with the District Education Council at public meeting number 2. As I mentioned earlier, there are different options here for the District Education Council. Maintaining the status quo at Bristol Elementary, simply ending the study on March 19th and saying continue as usual. Providing for repairs to Bristol Elementary, and government has to approve that because it involves significant amounts of money. Or closing Bristol Elementary and including students in a new K-8 school with a location and catchment areas that would be determined during a major capital process. Again, that can be a recommendation of DEC, but one that government would need to approve. We like to bring the presentation to a close by sharing the concept of a new K-8 school, because there is an educational specification document that sort of outlines what a K-8 school in New Brunswick should look like. And a typical K-8 school for 650 students would look something like this: 32 regular instructional classes, four kindergarten classrooms, an early childhood development room, two multifunction classrooms, middle-level science and technology spaces, a science room. MSTE is middle school technology, and then a science room, resource and special care classrooms, student and project work areas, music rooms, an art room, performing arts and theater classroom, two gymnasiums with change rooms and ancillary spaces, professional offices for guidance, student government room, library and media center, a cafeteria with kitchen and stage, recycling room, administration space and personnel center with a staff lounge, play areas and play field. When you think about K-8 schools in our school district, the most recent constructions were in 2014, just down the road in Woodstock, where we have Townsview School and the Duxnicket Consolidated School. Those schools came at a cost of $22.5 million and $25 million, respectively. We're now in the process, development stages of a new K-8 school in Hanwell, just outside of Fredericton. What happens next? We'll finish up this meeting today. We'll close here in a moment and offer an opportunity for questions. We invite the public, any stakeholders, to put together a presentation to share with the council in a public setting here on January 25th. And of course, the third public meeting will be at Carlton North on March 19th. At that time, the DEC will make a recommendation on the school's future. And then the government needs to consider that recommendation and make a decision. I can tell you that it's not just the meetings, that the DEC does considerable work from the beginning of the sustainability study right to the end. That includes examining reports and asking a lot of questions, having good conversations, whether it's at a public DEC meeting or at working sessions that take place. I know that there'll be one big working session specific for the sustainability study that will happen in March as they lead up to the decision on March 19th. So that's the end of the presentation. If there are any questions for me or staff, that's great. So from the District Education Council perspective, I know that Kimberly's happy to respond. Thank you.
Questions from anyone?
I do have a question just about some of the numbers. Like for me as a parent, the most important thing are the provincial assessment results. And so when you say they're a snapshot, to me that's close to real world, because to get my job, I had to do a test for 8 hours to get it. What I'm wondering, when I look at these numbers and see how great the Bristol staff do, are you able to look at the numbers provincially and the district and province and look at the size of those schools and how they compare? Like, to me, that's what I'd like to see.
You see those numbers of the bigger school, I think.
Right, that's my question.
Yes. Yeah, so provincial assessment results for every school in the province are available publicly.
So that's right.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, and it's they're available publicly on the Department of Education website. But there's no question you see that Bristol Elementary does very well.
Yeah. I was on the PSSC for a bigger school, and I'll tell you, you don't see those numbers there.
I have a question with regard to the relationship between not offering the elementary French immersion programs here and the declining enrollment.
Right.
Where the entry point for French immersion has gone down grade one. I'd like to know how many applications there have been for out-of-catchment enrollment at Florenceville starting in kindergarten in relationship to that, because I've heard about that in the community, that parents don't want to have their child go to a new school in grade one, so they're kind of electing to start them off in Florenceville in kindergarten to begin with.
Right.
And has it been considered to potentially offer that here and use more of the space that's available in this building. And I know that Florenceville was kind of overrun in terms of enrollment. I'm just wondering.
So I don't know, Jay, if you know that number off the top of your head. How many students?
Don't hold me to the numbers, but on average, it's about 5 or 6 kids a year right now.
5 or 6 Bristol kindergarten kids going to Florenceville.
Yeah.
Okay. And French immersion numbers, I know that that data is collected. I don't have it here. It's too bad Diane Kay wasn't here because she has that stuff. But when it comes to determining where French immersion is offered,
yes.
Each and every year, every single elementary school in the province,
yes.
is supposed to declare their desire, and then each district examines those numbers and determines how programs are rolled out. So
we're speaking about 30 students probably then overall, if there's about 5 per grade. So if there are 6 grades offered here, then that's about 30 students in terms of enrollment.
I see what you're saying. So people would enroll, people would request to go to Florenceville for a variety
programs.
Of reasons, but
right.
but one might presume that it's because they want to take French immersion in grade 1.
Right.
It's not always the case, but it seems like something
right.
that would be attractive to parents. What I hear you saying is,
I'm just wondering what that relationship is. Like my husband and I made the decision to keep our children here, even though we would like to have access to the early French immersion.
Right.
Simply because it's a smaller school and we liked the school environment.
You like the school environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can tell you that there hasn't been enough registration for French immersion to start and sustain one
yes.
here at Bristol Elementary.
So you're looking at 3 schools. My guess is that if we make a decision, it's going to be the same for all 3 schools, right?
And so right now there are 4 schools being studied. Yeah, and although there are 3 categories for the council to decide, there's a lot of little subcategories that they need to look at as well. K-8 comes from the Ernst & Young study that dug in a little deeper and suggested that would be the best model.
The school being built in Hanwell right now, is that pretty well the same design as Modesto-Cague and Townsview overall?
So it's 5 years later. Sean, how would you compare them?
It would have a lot of similarities to it in terms of space. There's more classroom space being built into the Hanwell school because of the potential for growth for students and move in, families move into the area. That's one component that's changed, but overall the design is pretty much the same. It'll be some more, it's a nature-themed school, so there'll be more natural aspects with an outdoor classroom being incorporated into the design.
Is the community getting involved in it as well?
The community is part of the process, and the community is adding some functional things to the school, such as a walking track and contributing to the playground, and also to a hard surface play area.
Whenever a new school is constructed, there's a local committee that participates in some of the planning. There's that framework of what a K-8 school looks like, and then a local committee that works through each of the parameters and has the ability to tweak things a little bit specific to their circumstance.
That's it. If you get home and discover that there's something you wished you had thought about to ask or comment on, then there's the sustainability part of the district website. So if you go on the district website and look for sustainability studies, you can go there, you can ask questions. Can you post questions on the website there?
So there's not a chat room, but there's an email address that Judy monitors, and so that email address is there, and people could email Judy or Jay or Sean or me. It all goes to the same.
And this presentation will be there as well. So. And the other studies that...
Yes, yeah. There's a history of studies that are there. And any other reports that we build along the way. I know I'm coming to the end of building a couple of financial reports that I've been working on, and we'll be posting those in the next week or so, just showing some of the comparisons and finer details.
So today isn't your last chance to ask questions, last kick of the can, and we hope you're back or for people interested with you back in January to fill out the picture for us, the things that you think we're missing from this on what Bristol Elementary School is all about. Thank you.
You don't know what these are called?
Someone coming this way.
Looks like it's loud now.
I will not forget it the next time.